This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
This is Pentecost Sunday, the day when the church was born in the city of Jerusalem and 3,000 people were converted. It is an exciting text, and we invite you to stay tuned and worship with us. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are at work through the means of grace, your word and sacrament, that we may be brought into a living, dynamic relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ. Speak to us today through this word, and grant that there may be an ongoing spiritual awakening within your church that reaches out into this world and tells the glorious story of Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer that we ask in his name. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 38. Peter has just preached a tremendous sermon to them. The Holy Spirit is present, and the people ask the question after being convicted of their sins, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
Bring light from our God that we
friends in Christ, the Christian church teaches that God is triune. We have one God who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The scriptures and the creeds of the church present, for example, God as the Father. And in that particular person, we think especially of the creation. We look out over this marvelous universe, especially in this time of the year when everything is so fresh and new. And we stop and realize that God is a creator. We sail on the ocean. We ride through the mountains. We walk across the fertile fields. And all of this has come from the created hand of God Almighty. It is so immense that the human mind cannot begin to comprehend it. We see evidence of his work every single day. Also, when we look at our bodies, they are marvelously made. Some of those bodies are getting a little older now and are beginning to show the wear and the tear. But even there, they are marvelously made. God is the one who has created this. The human being works with that body and does a good job too in prolonging its stay here on this earth. But only God could really put it into being. That's God the Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Then the second person in that Trinity is God the Son. He is referred to as the Redeemer and the Savior. He is a part of the Godhead that has come into this world, who has taken upon himself a body and is known as the babe of Bethlehem's manger. His name is Jesus. And then he lives on for 33 years, and we find this person who came to be our Savior hanging upon a cross, suffering and dying for the sins of the world. He took our sins upon him. Having been created in the image of God, we had a will that could say no to God. And so that's what we did. We were born in sin, and we transgressed his commands again and again. All of these sins God cannot overlook, but he can forgive. But before he can forgive, there must be a basis for the forgiveness. And that basis is when Jesus Christ dies at the cross as a payment for our sins. And then 3 days later, that glorious resurrection where he is victor over sin, death, and the devil. That's the second person of the Trinity, God the Son. And then there's the third person, that is God the Holy Spirit. This is God working in us. It is probably a little difficult for us to understand this as well as God the Father and God the Son. For the Father, you have the creation. The Son, you have the cross and the fact that he walked on this earth for 33 years. But the Holy Spirit, he is God working within us to bring us to a conviction of our sin, to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, to live within us and to help us understand how God wants us to live and motivates us to live that way. His work can perhaps best be seen on Pentecost. Peter has just preached a very dynamic sermon. And during the course of that time, he was telling these people who were in Jerusalem that Christ had come and that men had rejected him. They had put him on a cross. It was a great day in Jerusalem. It was their Jewish festival. The Jews had all gathered to thank God for the gift of the law that he had given to Moses, and then for the ingathering of the harvest. But there was a spectacular thing that happened. There was a violent wind that went through the city. People began to speak in other languages. For example, you could be there and you didn't know a word of Latin, but suddenly somebody was speaking in Latin. And then there was someone speaking in Greek, and Egyptian and all of the other languages. They were telling the story of Jesus Christ in the language that people could understand. This amazed the people, and they wondered, what is this all about, until finally some wise guy in the crowd said, oh, they're drunk. And it was at that time that Peter got up and said, no, they are not drunk, argues with him, and then he says, let me tell you what happened. And then he goes on and tells the story of Christ, the story of the Savior who had walked among them, and they rejected him, and finally they decided that they would get him killed, and they did that. But then God raised him from the grave. And when the people had heard this, the Holy Spirit, now not Peter, but the Holy Spirit began to work through that word of God. And people came up and said, what shall we do? And when they gave that question, Peter answered, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What were they to do? They were to turn from their sins. They were to receive Jesus Christ. And then on the basis of their confession, they were to be baptized. The Holy Spirit was working through the word and the sacrament of baptism. And they were baptized and they became a part of God's body. And the church was born. The law could point out their sins, but it took the gospel of Jesus Christ to grant them the forgiveness of their sin. And it was not only an intellectual lesson that they were learning, but it was also that great truth that stirred their soul as they realized once and for all that with their past as it was, it could all be forgiven and they could be restored into fellowship with God forever and ever. And then they could begin to live for him. And it would be their desire to live for him. That is the Holy Spirit at work on that first Pentecost as people came to Christ. I can't help but think of how Peter is another good example of this. He was a man who before Pentecost knew a tremendous amount about Jesus. He had walked with him. He had heard him teach. He trusted him, he believed in him, but now he was disappointed. What was going to happen next until Pentecost Sunday, when Peter was anointed by the Holy Spirit? And as he was anointed, this man changed. Faith was created in his heart as he had never had it before. And he had a tongue that could tell the story of Christ. It was through Peter's words that 3,000 people came to Christ. The Holy Spirit used Peter. And that's the way that he does it today. Generally speaking, friend, when the Holy Spirit works, he works through the means of grace. Let me say that again. When the Holy Spirit works, he works through the means of grace. What are the means of grace? They are the Word and the sacraments. The sacrament of baptism, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Now, there are some of my brothers and sisters in Christ who belong to other denominations who say, no, he only works through the Word. And I think that we have been ready to say in the Lutheran Church, of which I am a part, the Word is a primary means of grace, but there are also the sacraments. But we'll leave that difference until we get to heaven to find out who was right. God works through appointed means, and today we'll just say, for the sake of clarity, he works through the Word of God. He works very orderly. And so he had said to Peter, Peter, that which you have done in your life has been so contrary to the will of God. When you denied your Savior in the courtyard, that was against the will of God. The hatred that you might have shown to other people and so forth and so on, that is not what God wants from your life, Peter. But confess your sins, trust Jesus Christ, and they will be forgiven. And that's exactly what Peter did. And so it's what we have to do today. And this is a great part of the Christian faith, that he has chosen people. For example, people who stand in pulpits today and preach over the radio or television or wherever it might be. Just simply to tell the story as clearly as we possibly can. And God forgive us if we ever try to substitute anything but that glorious message of salvation in Jesus Christ. It's in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit really works. So what does that mean? It means that if we attach our lives to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is really going to communicate to us in ways that we perhaps never otherwise would have experienced. Do we have other examples of this? Can we make it clearer by using some examples? Of course we can. Let's take, for example, Martin Luther. Martin Luther, as you've heard the story, perhaps many of you, several times over, was a very confused person. A brilliant mind, he found himself in the Augustinian monastery, but he had no peace with God. The brilliant mind was over at the University of Wittenberg, preparing his lectures for his students there at the university, but he was confused. Now, he knew theology very well. He was a brilliant student, but he had not yet come into that personal contact with Christ. One day then, as he was preparing his lectures, the Holy Spirit went to work. Did the Holy Spirit just come right out of the air and hit him on the head and say, "Look, I've got a message for you that you'll not find in the Word of God. It's for you, Luther." No, that's not the way that it happened at all. But as the student was sitting there in his study, pondering over the first chapter of Romans, he came to verse 17. And there he read, "Now the Holy Spirit is at work, for in the gospel a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." It was as if a lightning bolt had hit him. The heavens were open, and Luther began to understand that I am justified before God by grace. It is all from Him, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The faith was also created by the Holy Spirit. And that man reached out in faith and received Christ Jesus, and his life was changed. He was completely forgiven. He was at peace with God. Never again would he have to live in the darkness. And so the Reformation began. And that is where we have that marvelous biblical teaching that we do not earn our salvation. It is a complete gift for us, but it has been given to us by the Holy Spirit working through the Word. So that's the way it is, my friend. That means that if I want to be in contact with God, I have to bring myself to the Word of God. I have to read it. I have to hear it preached. I need to memorize some of it. The reading of the Word, the memorizing of the Word. How often have we not been reminded, as we have been in the midst of doing things that are contrary to the will of God, that suddenly there is that little voice that speaks to us, and he brings up a scripture passage that is so clear. And he takes that's the Holy Spirit. He takes that word and drives it home until I know back off from that. Or when he gives me an opportunity to tell other people about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, "You remember what I said to you? You remember when you memorized that verse? You are to be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. That was when you memorized it. Now, let it come forth from your lips." who Jesus Christ really is. That's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who can meet a child at the baptismal font. Obviously, the child is unconscious, or it does not know really what's going on. But the father and the mother, who understand what's going on, says, while God is here, establishing a covenant relationship, he is telling me to go home and tell that child the story of the Savior. Friend, when that word is spoken at home, when that word is clearly taught in our Sunday schools and churches, it is a marvelous thing to see how God can work in the life of a little child. The other evening, I was sitting in a home, and one of the grandchildren came in and said to her grandpa, who had just lost his wife, could I have a copy of that poem that I wrote when I was 11 years old? The young lady is 16 now. And he went and got the copy that she had given to Grandma, I suppose. And then I had an opportunity to read it and was given the privilege of having a copy. Now here is a little girl who had been raised in a Christian home. And this is what she had written when she was 11. I have love in my heart from him. He will keep me safe and away from sin. We should know that we are the first, and God will love us at our worst. Just think of it. She has captured this, that God will love her at her worst. A few days ago, my youngest granddaughter, was confirmed. She stood there in front of that congregation and said, I love the Lord Jesus, and I promise to be faithful to him. I know, Sarah, and I know that came from the bottom of her heart. That was the Holy Spirit who was at work. Has a good father and a mother, and has been surrounded with the gospel, and he took those human beings, used them in the life of Sarah. And she confesses her faith in Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's Pentecost. Avail yourself of his counsel by living in his word. Amen. Holy Spirit, thanks for inspiring the Word. Grant that we may live in that Bible so that we may get counsel from you, that will always bring us back to Christ, who loves us. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought you perfect peace that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. We invite you to share Christian Crusaders with a friend, relative, or neighbor. By making more people aware of this ministry, we can share the word and spread the light of the gospel so no one walks in darkness. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. If you wish, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry dedicated to serving the spiritual needs of those unable to attend worship in the church of their choice and all others who have need to listen. We thank all who support us with their prayers and gifts. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 69th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.